You're listening to PodcastJuice.net.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Geeked Out, and this is Podcast Juice, and today we are doing a review on Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. It's the new movie sequel to Rise of the Planet of the Apes, and joining me today are Mr. Q-Storm. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. I'm waiting for the next two ape films to come out. First Coffee of the Planet of the Apes and Rush Hour of the Planet of the Apes.
Whoa. Okay. And next up, Mr. Actually, it's so funny. I had a dream I said this. But the local film critic and expert, Mr. Sean Hill. How are you, sir?
Doing well. Doing well. Ready to get this review going.
All right. So let's just get right into it. This is the sequel to, as I said before, Rise of the Planet of the Apes, which in and of itself is a reboot, the second reboot of the Planet of the Apes franchise. And the last film, Rise, was actually sort of like a surprise hit to me. I really enjoyed that movie.
I did too.
Yeah, it was really good. And now we're here with the sequel, bringing back Caesar. What was the man's name? Is that Andy Serkis?
Yes.
Yeah, plays Caesar. Does it with motion capture. Gary Oldman is in this movie. Jason Clarke. That's only recognized. Oh, I don't. What's the brother? I think his name is Toby. Is that the sort of Hispanic guy? He's from The Wire. That's why I know. I'm not. He's from The Wire. He's from Oz. But anyway,
I'm not sure.
He's the asshole in this movie.
And you know, he's also the. Oh, go ahead. You know what was brilliant was he was also the guy from The Walking Dead, who was driving the tank.
That's right. That's right. And then it also stars. This may be his first big budget movie. Is Samuel Blackson, which is distant relative to Samuel Jackson. How is that black, bald-headed brother? I swear they're trying to make him look like Sam Jackson. But anyway, let's get into this movie. I don't
know who else starred in this movie. Oh, was my choice for Billy Batson.
Which
Cody Smith McPhee, I think his name is.
Did he play a little boy? The boy, the younger guy?
Yeah.
Okay. He looked like somebody else, another famous actor, and I can't think of the guy's name.
He looked like Nicholas Holt to me, the guy who was in Warm Bodies most recently.
Oh,
the guy who played the Beast. He looked like him to me.
Okay. All right. So, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Now, you might not hear this review anywhere else, but this is what we do. So we don't care. Now, for me, I have to look at this. Is let me say this. I enjoyed the movie. I thought it was good. I had to realize I have problems with the actions of Caesar. But that doesn't mean that it's not a good movie for me, but it sort of made me kind of, you know how I always talk about I fall asleep in these movies? I was fighting to stay awake toward the end. my girlfriend kept nudging me, wake up, you're snoring. I was like, oh, yeah. And this was, in the height of it going down. But here's my problem.
Okay.
First of all, I have to look at the geopolitical racial underpinnings of this movie. I have a problem with Caesar, man. Like, he's a dope character. The way he's played, the look of it. I mean, the fact that I'm discussing this CGI motion capture performance speaks highly to the process that they've done. This is excellent work.
Yes.
But see, to me, see, and again, this has nothing to do in terms of the movie being bad. I just don't like this story. Caesar was so he was so bred to be a pet that his actions, in my opinion, were based off of his longing to want to appeal his masters. Like, he put the humans in the front of his own people. And I couldn't understand. I mean, I understand why he's doing that, but he was a sucker for that to me. Like, the humans come into, set up the story. The humans come into the forest, basically coming across in the wrong hood, right?
The wrong one.
Yeah. And then he runs up. He get ran up. Well, not even run up. They just meet. There's two other gorilla monkeys, or whatever. And the human dude shoots one of the monkeys. And that's what starts it all off. Now, Caesar and them come running. Like, they, they come in with the force. And it's a confrontation, but Caesar gives them a pass. after they just shot one of your people. First of all, right there, I was like, nah, hold up. Like, there got to be a price to be paid. Like, you can't shoot people. And this isn't this is post-apocalyptic world. This isn't, you know, friendly world. So I thought that was ridiculous. And that one ape, Kobo, is that his name?
Yeah.
He was the only real writer.
I think it was Koba.
Koba. He was like the real, like, he spoke. He was like, what the hell is going on? Like, and then my man whose kid got shot, the monkey. I know he was hot. I didn't understand. I was like, this fool, Caesar, he loved white folks.
Wow.
And I'm just joking, but I'm saying he's so wanted to have, he got so much these dreams of his master that he can't leave behind his compassion that he got for the humans. He letting them, time and time again, the humans were, they was distrustful. My man said, don't bring no guns here. They had guns here. They said all these things that they were doing, they kept messing up, and he kept giving them a pass. I was like, what the hell is he doing? And what was I going to say? I kind of forgot what I was going to say. But with that, I was just kind of thrown off by it. I was like, why is he doing this? I said, I can understand. So when my man, and spoilers, when there's a betrayal that happens, you know what? I said, you know what? For the betterment of his race, he had to do that because they had a sucker in charge. And, wow. And he was going to bring them all to hell unless somebody said, you know what, this fool's got to go. I'm going to have to do whatever. And that was the Malcolm. He went Malcolm. He said, by any means necessary, if I have to spark the trigger, then that's what it's going to take. But this fool going to have us all go to hell, even though he was wrong. I mean, you know what happened. But I mean, somebody had to do something, because Caesar, y'all come on in, let's integrate. You know,
wow. You know what's funny? All right, two people, three in this case, three people. I don't know what Q's view on it yet. I saw it totally different. I don't know if you guys have read my review yet, but I compared this film to The Godfather Part Two, and actually compared the first one to The Godfather, and Michael's journey from naive soldier boy to leader of the pack. And Caesar kind of had that same evolution in the first film. And now we pick up, 10 years later in this film. And now he's obviously the leader. He has to make decisions that are unpopular, but I understood why he made that decision as far as not going buck wild when they shot the ape, because he doesn't know how many other humans are out there. They, you know, they haven't seen a human in 10 years. So how does he know that this is the only group that's out there? You know, their last contact with humans, they, you know, was in the end of the first film, and they lost a lot of people. So,
well, let me ask you this.
Yes.
So when they go to the city, this is a great scene when all the apes, they come riding into the city. These cats are on horseback, and they came with the force. I'm like, okay, they came to the hood. Like, listen, now what he should have did, when they all rolled up there, they just said, bring that mother. This would have been see if I had to direct this movie. Caesar would have gone up there when he first spoke, bring that motherfucker out. And they would have brought that Hispanic dude out there, shot him. Eye for an eye. And then they would have rolled off. And that would have been the message. When you take one of us, we take one of you. You didn't have to kill him, but let them know we ain't going down. And that's why I would have respected that. Like, I would have been okay. Like, they just went up there and said, oh, we here, and then went back. That was nothing. But anyway, they didn't make this movie for me. Go ahead.
But no, but that's, you know, the rivalry between he and the other ape, that kind of reminded me of Michael and Fredo a little bit with that. One wants to do it one way, and
Fredo, you said?
Not necessarily Fredo. Kind of Sonny. A little bit of Sonny. Sonny was the hothead.
That makes more sense.
Yeah, Sonny's the hothead, while Michael is the more level-headed, cool one. And again, that it just really, really reminded me of that. But at the same time, I didn't really enjoy this movie either, just because and there were several reasons. The 3D was awful. I don't know if you guys saw it in 3D, but there were no 3D moments at all in the movie, and it distracted me to the point where I kind of lost the story a little bit because I'm like so distracted with this 3D and I'm going, why is this a 3D? Why is this a 3D? I'm sitting there like an hour later, I'm still thinking, why is this a 3D? And I've missed, you know, some important plot points. But I just think that Caesar this time around, for me at least, wasn't as interesting as he was in the first film. There wasn't I don't think he had an arc. I don't think he was pretty much a badass at the beginning of the movie. And at the end of the movie, he's pretty much a badass. And there's really not much going on in between. And then the human characters were totally, totally uncompelling at all. They were so uncompelling that Andy Serkis, he got top billing. Not the human characters, which I find interesting. But, you know, they almost made me miss James Franco. Almost. So it's a definite thumbs down for me. I don't know. What do you say, Q?
Well, first, I'm flabbergasted because I have my Everlast gloves on.
Yeah.
I have my boxer shorts on. I was ready to throw down with you two.
All right.
What's fascinating to me is that I'm not going to say it was a bad movie, but I don't think I disliked it nearly as much as you guys did. I go on other forums, comic book forums, movie forums, and I'm fighting for my life. But everybody's saying, oh, it was the best. Even critics are saying the best summer release, the best sci-fi movie release of the summer. I'm thinking, did they not see Edge of Tomorrow?
Yeah.
But at any rate, it wasn't a bad movie. It was fair. The only thing to me that would categorize it as being a bad movie is the simplistic plot line. That was the main problem for me. There was nothing in this movie that I hadn't seen before.
And exactly.
You brought up a very interesting point. Because I think you're right. No need to couch it. Obviously, there are, whether it's because of our insecurities or whatever, you can't help but equate this somewhat with the black versus white struggle, right? And so that really came to the fore with me when, and we've already spoiled it, when Koba decides to shoot Caesar. And I'm like, wow, it's the monkeys that don't have their shit together that they have their infighting. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
To me, that was like, oh, the human, unlike the original series, the original franchise, the apes were the ones, I mean, they weren't nice to the humans, but the apes had their shit together. They had a civilization, and the humans were the ones who were infighting and all that, right? Nah, with this, we had ape-on-ape crime.
Well, and then you know what? And the reason they had ape on ape crime because they were robbed of their nature, robbed of their coach. No, they was taken. That was Koba's whole prop. Why he was such a nut? Because he was mad at the slavery and how, you know what he said. Humans treat me. You know, he was showing the scars. You know, 400 years. He wasn't trying to play nice. He was like, nah, fuck that. We ride. Why are you being soft, Caesar? You didn't say that. I was like, he made sense to me. Like, he wasn't like outright trying to attack him for no reason. But once they had bloodshed was shed in the streets, it was over. He ain't trying to. He wasn't like, nah, man. Why are you bringing these people up in here? And then you know what's funny? I'll cut you off. I'm gonna come right back. When Koba was out there and he did a reconnaissance mission at the military armory, and when he came across them soldiers, you see how he jumped into step and fetching. That's what he was when he was looking. First, he looking at a mad dog like, I hate these mom. And then when he knew they gun him down, he said, pfft. He was basically saying, yes sir, boss, get a boss high. And they was like, hey, see, when I watch it, I'm so destroyed. I good thing, boy. Yeah, jumping around, boy. I was like, okay. I said, you see, there he go. He playing into what they his stereotypes. Because he knew that he was playing. He was smart. He actually was very smart. He's, let me play. Let me get these. Let me show them the coon. Yes. You know, and then when he walked out, I was like, fuck these. And then he got their ass. I saw parts of this I respect, but I just thought Caesar, he was really he's Uncle Tom.
Wow.
He really was. He was on the coon train. So, wow. And then he turned, he got himself together. At the, he realized, hey, man, I'm an ape. They humans. This is a different world. We ain't, it ain't nothing nice. It's war. Like you said, you need to go. It's war time. He's basically saying, if you catch your ass out here again, I ain't going to hold him off you. He's going down. So I want to see the next movie. He better be hardcore and no more of that sympathy shit. And let's get it popping. I need to see the whole world where the apes got these clowns in cages like they alluded to in this one. So I'm ready.
Well, that was the genesis of my joke at the beginning. It's like, and this is, I haven't even really given my review yet, but this is why I made that joke at the beginning. You know, how long is it going to take us? We've had Rise of the Planet of the Apes, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. I put in my review, I'm waiting to see the movie titled, okay, no bullshit, this really is a planet run by apes. Are we going to have to see the coffee, getting the coffee, the rush hour, the 9-to-5 job of the Planet of the Apes? When are we going to get to where the apes are running the show? When are we going to get to the point where we're not trying to integrate the apes with the humans? And that's why, it was a moment that I guess the way the movie was going, we needed to see where Caesar and Malcolm, that was the lead human, you know, they touched foreheads and all this and stuff.
Yeah, that was suck a shit. Okay. My bad. Go ahead, man.
Okay. It was funny. The guy's name was Malcolm.
Yeah.
But
see how they do it? No, I'm just joking.
That was not nearly as much of a problem for me. I mean, to me, that was just very Hollywoodish that we had to have the humans, the humans by proxy being us, the viewers and the audience. We had to put the humans in a sympathetic light. That was to me, that kind of marred the story. But the biggest problem, again, and I think, Sean, you agreed with me, it was this movie has so much promise. I mean, when I saw the promos, I was thinking of that brilliant TV show, Mike, that you put me onto called Survivors. Mm-hmm. Excellent show. I was thinking, okay, we're now getting to the point where we see why the human race had devolved into non-speaking creatures and that the apes were ruling things. No, we didn't get that. We got just a little bit further down, only 10 years down the road from the first movie, mm-hmm. which to me was just a nominal film to begin with, okay? And I'm not going to say the movie went off the rails. I was disappointed at the simple storyline that they took. The simple conflict being, okay, the enemy is really within, working covertly to bring about change. I mean, I've seen that story so many times.
Yeah.
But where the movie really, when I realized I was going to be disappointed was in that scene where they all come down en masse. Caesar says, we're going to show them strength. Okay? Mm-hmm. And they come down there riding horseback. I mean, my man Gary Oldman said, it's more than 80 chimps down there, okay? And I'm thinking, if you're going to take this route where the humans have to be sympathized with, we have to empathize with the humans, why do you keep repeating certain scenes over and over again? That was another problem I had. You had Malcolm walk out to meet Caesar, who's on horseback, and Caesar says, don't come in my forest anymore. And I'm like, okay, all right. Why doesn't Malcolm just say right there, well, we just want to go turn the dam on? Mm. Why do the writers have it where, okay, now we have to repeat the scene where Malcolm confronts Caesar again and he really tells him what he wants to do? Why do we repeat the scene that we see the scene where Koba speaks out of line to Caesar? Caesar puts the smack down. Then we see that scene again. Where this time he puts a real ass whooping on Koba, and he has to apologize. We repeat the scene that you just talked about, where Koba goes into the armory and sees the two caricatures of human beings. You know, the rednecks, of course, and he tries to, you know, he does his step and fetch it routine and leaves. Then we see that scene repeated again. It's like, why this movie was 45 minutes of a possibly good story that was stretched out to 2 hours because they didn't really have a story.
Yeah.
I mean, think about really like that, scratching the surface. This movie, I'll sum it up. This one last thing. The scene where Malcolm is going to get the medicine to get back to Caesar, who's been shot, And this was a brilliant scene. The camera is on a steady cam and it stays unbroken through a majority of the scene. He's walking through the building and the chimps are crashing everything. He's trying to avoid them so he doesn't get captured. And then he stands in the corner and we see that silhouette of a chimp mm-hmm. walking towards him. I'm like, dude, it's Blue Eyes. I know who it is. I know who it is. There's no suspense here. Just show us that it's him and then build the suspense in trying to get him out of the compound. But no, as soon as he sees that it's Caesar's son, we cut and they're already back at the house and safe and sound. That's a perfect example of all of the failed opportunities that this movie did not take advantage of to give me something somewhat original. So, I don't know. It was a movie. I'm not going to say it was a bad movie. I'd probably give it 2.5-3 stars. But there were spectacular scenes that did not come together to make a great movie because of the plot.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. Like I said, I enjoyed it myself. It very well done, in terms of the effects and everything. I blew it out of the ballpark with the apes. I had no problem watching them, and it was believable emotions.
Yeah, well, like I was saying, Andy got top billing over the humans. So that's definitely what they want is, him to do good work. And he did good work, again, just like he did in the first one. I wasn't involved with his character at all this time.
I kind of disagree. Your argument, your complaints about how Caesar's political views, that could be debatable. I'm not going to argue that. I can see that. But I thought Caesar was – I thought he was more – how do I put it? He was more – he was such a leader. I saw him as really a strong, moral, righteous person. And, people will argue, is morality always required in certain situations? Should we be righteous in certain situations? So that's not a level playing field. But in terms of his character
– But he never changes, though. He's that character.
That's what I'm saying. Well, let me ask you this. Q.
Yeah.
Which Michael is more interesting? I hate to bring it back to The Godfather. The Michael in Godfather 1 or the Michael in Godfather 2? Which character is more interesting?
Well, I would first tweak your premise by saying I think we see the second Michael in both films. It's just in the first film he appears in the second to last act. Obviously, you're making. I know where you're going with that. It's like the hero versus the villain. Who's more compelling?
I think it's like Neo. It's like Luke Skywalker. The journey of him becoming who he is always more compelling than to just watch a movie. Him being the end result. He never has a conflict.
Yes.
Right? He's basically a Jedi now, and he has nothing to challenge him. He doesn't sway. He's really not fighting with anything. I mean, he's making sort of wrong decisions, but he's still the same character that he is at the beginning as he is at the end. Like, he's no real journey for him.
But okay,
and they even have the movie begins and ends with the same shot too. So
yeah,
with the close up of his face. So I'm like, well, that just says we've come full circle, but have we? We haven't. Well, he's still the same dude.
Let me point out one major change that Caesar has. At the beginning of the film, at the beginning of the film, he says, apes do not kill apes. At the end of the film, he's not with that anymore.
Well, no, I don't know. Is he? Because he just says that guy's not an ape anymore. He didn't change the rule.
That was kind of bullshit writing. Because obviously he's an ape, and he's killing an ape. What they should have said was something like, well, in this case, I'm making – he should have done an Arnold Schwarzenegger line. He should have said, in this case, I make an exception or something like that.
Well, I mean, he kind of does. I mean, he doesn't change the rule. He just defines that you're no longer an ape, so it doesn't apply to you. And he blatantly says that.
I'm saying I think that's false writing. I don't think that's – I think that's disingenuous writing. I don't think he should have –
I don't think he should have said that either, but I just think to the argument he's still withholding the same. He hasn't changed or swayed from that. And they make that character so despicable where you can let it pass. Like, oh, okay, he's killing his own.
What he should have said is, oh, sorry.
No,
I was going to say, I was gonna say what he should have said. He should have grabbed him, kissed him. I know it was you. You broke.
Hilarious.
But see, to me,
I'm off the rails. I know
that scene was very similar to the end of Man of Steel. Should Superman have killed Zod? You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I you guys make some very. I'm not. Listen, you make some very good points that maybe he doesn't change, but just the fact that he is now fighting balls out with another ape, to me, was enough of an arc. And I knew what he was about. He was Professor X, you know, and Kobo was Magneto. You know, we keep coming up with all these similes, but that, to me, Professor X, you're never going to see Professor X change, you know?
Which is why he's not a central character in the movies. He's not. Well, they don't base the movie.
I don't know. I don't know that that's why he's not a central character. I think it's probably just because.
Well, go ahead.
You can't do much with a character in a wheelchair on film. It's not very visual. I think that's the only reason. If he were, he was a central character in X-Men First Class.
Yeah, when he's not in a wheelchair, and they give his character an arc.
No, that's my point. But I'm saying Professor X. Well,
he was written. He was not written how Patrick Stewart's character was written. In all those three other movies, though, either. He was made a character in this thing.
He was a drunkard and a womanizer at the beginning.
Right. He had an arc.
Yeah.
Xavier never has an arc.
Again,
movies.
I don't want to get off the rails here, but again, that to me seemed very forced so that he could go through a change. But that's another argument. I know what you guys are saying, but to me, Caesar was what he was, and to make him any different, maybe they overdid it. I give you that. I kind of was like, okay, we're going to have the whole thing with him embracing the human. But, I mean, if you look at the fact that he was raised with humans. He was raised by humans.
I get it. I mean,
you know.
All right, we got to wrap it up. Go ahead, wrap it up. We got to wrap it up.
They even make a point of showing. I was just going to say real quick. They make a point of showing us that Caesar takes the crew to his old house. He plays the video with James Franco. He shows them photos of James Franco. So
went back to the plantation, huh?
Oh, here we go.
Couldn't leave it behind. Set him free. He had to come back and watch them old tapes with Master.
The last thing that I'll say on it is, out of all the films I've reviewed over the past couple of years, this is probably the most disappointing one. But I will definitely – I'm thinking about going to see it again in 2D. So I'm not distracted by the 3D and see if my opinion of it changes. So who knows? Maybe my 2-star review will be bumped up by a second viewing.
All right. There we go. That's Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Let us know what you thought of the movie in the comments section. Also, leave us some comments on Facebook. And real quick, where can they find you, Q-Storm?
You can go to QStorm.com. You can go to QStorm.com/lightningstrikes. You can go to Michael Jones on Facebook, and you can check me out on Twitter at QStorm3476.
All right, Mr. Sean Hill, where can they find you?
I am at hillstreetviews.blogspot.com, Facebook, Sean Hill, and also Real Movie Talk, Twitter at Hill Street Views.
And you can find me here at podcastjuice.net, also on Twitter, it's M. Dean, and then on Facebook, Michael Dean, and also check out the Podcast Juice page on Facebook. With that, we'll see you next time. Peace.